respect for life. If you think your family has problems, consider the marriage mayhem created when 76-year-old Bill Baker of London wed his sweetheart, Edna Harvey. She happened to be his granddaughter's husband's mother. His granddaughter's husband's mother. And that's where the confusion began, according to Baker's granddaughter, Lynn. Quote, she said, "My mother-in-law is now my stepmother. No, my step-grandmother. My grandfather is now my stepfather-in-law. My mum is my sister-in-law. And my brother is my nephew. But even crazier is that I'm now married to my uncle, and my own children are my cousins." Relationships are never easy. And the Ten Commandments is all about relationships. You'll know as you studied on that, the Ten Commandments are split into two halves. Not five and five, as they're often depicted in works of art, but four and six. Four and six. The first four is our relationship to God upward. Make time for God. Respect God's name. Just different commandments in how to walk close with God. And then the bottom six are relationships to other people. How you treat one another. Don't lie, don't steal, etc., etc. So it's all about relationships. Loving God, growing in God, loving one another, growing in earthly relationships. And this morning we're going to look at this sixth commandment, respect for life. In the NIV it simply says, do not murder. The old King James Bible says, thou shalt not kill. So you can have it as four words or three, the choice is yours. Now on the surface, understanding the Ten Commandments are not rocket science, are they? They're succinct, elegantly simple. They don't dance around the issues. They get right to the point, and really, they don't really need too much interpretation. I mean, a child could read through the Ten Commandments and figure out most of them straight away. And yet, these three simple, straightforward words, boy, they are deep. And boy, they are complex. And it strained my brain this week as I sat down to try and figure out what was the Lord actually saying. And if you go away from here and ponder this commandment, it will strain your brain, I guarantee it. So to get to grips with this commandment, we need to understand, first of all, what does the word kill, as the King James Bible says, or murder, as the New International Version says, actually mean? You see, the commandment, I believe, does not aim at prohibiting or killing. Rather, it is prohibiting an act of murder. That is, taking human life with forethought. The context this verse is set in is all about relationships with other people. Hence, do not lie, do not steal, do not commit adultery. It is not talking about how we treat animals, for example. That's a study all in itself. Just a few weeks ago, I was walking through Fareham Town Centre, and there was a couple of people there I instantly recognised. Not by name, I'd never met them before, but I recognised them by what they were doing. They stood in the precinct of Fareham, and they were handing out booklets. Originally, when I first saw them, I thought they were John's Gospels. And as I got closer, I realised they weren't John's Gospels. They were paperback editions of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Hindu scriptures, and especially favoured and used by Hare Krishnas. And these guys had got Western dress on, they got woolly hats on, so you couldn't see the shaved head and the ponytail. But I knew exactly what they were. When I lived in the Midlands, I used to debate and chat to the Hare Krishnas on a regular basis in my home city. So like a magnet, I was drawn to them and wanted to share something of Jesus. And if you talk to a Hare Krishna and they find out you're a Christian, I can almost guarantee what they will say to you. And it's this, they will say, do you eat meat? And if you reply yes, straight away they will say, but your scripture says thou shalt not kill. So they dismiss everything you say because you don't follow your scriptures. You can't know God because you kill animals. And that's their reasoning, that's their logic. And they clearly quote, and for years, whenever I spoke to them, always guarantee they say that. And yet, that's not what this commandment actually says. It's the old quotation, isn't it? If you take a text out of its context, you're left with a con. And that's what they did. Because nowhere in the Ten Commandments, the surrounding verses are talking about animals. It is talking about people and relationships with people. So context is important in understanding what that word kill or murder actually means. And so at the start of my talk, let me emphasise 2 points. Number one, murder here means the premeditated taking of life. And secondly, we are talking about human life, not animal life. Now, preachers have a problem with this commandment. Because as soon as you read it, everyone sits there and thinks, well, this ain't for me. I've never killed anyone, and I've no intention of killing anyone. And as a preacher visiting your church, that makes me feel a whole lot safer. I'm glad to hear that. But actually, as we delve into this commandment, it does scratch where we're itching in so many levels. And it will affect us. And we do have to think through a whole variety of issues to do with this commandment. Now, what do we mean? Let's move on. Murder. Let me give you a definition of that word, murder. Now, I appreciate this is heavy going at times, so I'm going to try and lighten it as well. And I did come across this quotation for defining words. So before we define the heavy word, let's think about one or two lighter words. How would you define the word sweater? Someone has said sweater, a garment worn by a child when a mother is cold. A garment worn by a child when a mother is cold. How would you define the word committee? A group of people who keep minutes and waste hours. Courtesy, the art of yawning with your mouth closed. You're a courteous bunch this morning. Experience, the name men give to their mistakes. Full name, what you call your children when you're mad at them. Arlo Jacob Curley, come here. Before did it, haven't we? Grocery list, that piece of paper you spend hours writing and then forget to take with you when you go to the shops. Preacher, defined as someone who talks in other people's sleep. And vegetarian, an old Indian name for bad hunter. Okay, they're the light-hearted ones. Let's think of the more serious one. What do we mean by murder? Well, one dictionary, Webster's dictionary, describes it this way. The unlawful and malicious or premeditated killing of one human being by another. The unlawful and malicious or premeditated killing of one human being by another. And sadly, we live in a society where we see that happening or we hear about it all the time. The UK murder rate last year shot up. And it shot up because, according to the experts, police officers were taken off their normal duties to do other specific duties, and it left society slightly unguarded. And as a result, the murder rate shot up. In September 2015, there was a 14% increase to the year before, the highest level for 5 years. On a wider perspective, we've seen the horrific images and we've read the stories in the TV or the newspapers. Things like Friday the 13th, November 2015, 129 people murdered in Paris, France. Earlier on that year, January the 7th, 11:30 local time, 11 people killed, 11 people injured in the Charlie Hebdo offices of Paris. Lives taken, murdered. On the news this week, just a couple of days ago, Levi Belfield was in the news. He's finally admitted to killing 13-year-old Millie Dowler, amongst his other victims. And there's a whole list of famous murders, murderers. Shredder Rosemary West, Harold Shipton, Donald Nielsen, Ian Brady, Myron. There's an endless list, sadly, of celebrity murders, serial murders. Now, although we would never, I hope, actively seek to commit a murder, we could actually be caught up, or family members, in a murder scenario. Just a couple of years ago, a lady in her own church, her sister was on holiday in Canada. She was walking along the beach innocently. Somebody attacked her and she was murdered. And the family back in the UK have been devastated by that experience. And of course, we hope you would never experience something like that, but it happens. And someone has to pick up the pieces. So what is murder? It is the unlawful and malicious or premeditated killing of one human being by another. So if that is what murder is, let's again just unpack it a bit more and get a description of murder. Bob Hope was one of the great American comics of the last century. And as he was getting along in years, he once commented that he had been reading and was astonished to find these truths. He said, "Today my heart beats over 103,000 times. My blood travelled 106 million miles in my veins. I breathed 23,400 times today. I inhaled 438 cubic feet of air, ate 3 pounds of food, and drank 2.9 litres of liquid. I perspired 1.3 pints, gave off 85.3 degrees of heat, generated 450 tons of energy. I spoke 4,800 words. I moved 750 major muscles, and I exercised 7 million brain cells." And Bob Hope said, "It's no wonder I feel tired all the time." Now, I like that little story because it's a reminder. Hey, you and I were created to live. And we were created to enjoy life. And the Bible says not only were we created to live, we were created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And every person we meet, relative or stranger, friend or enemy, also bears the image of God. And we were created for a reason, that we might know God and we might live in harmony with other people. That's the Ten Commandments, isn't it? When Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments, he said, "Love God with all your heart. And love your neighbour as yourself." Love God, the first four commandments. Love your neighbour, the other six commandments. So we were created to enjoy life. Harmony with God, harmony with other people. And only God has the right and the authority to take life. Why? Because he is the giver of life and the sustainer of life. Only God has the right to take life because he is the giver of life and the sustainer of life. When I take a funeral service, and if ever you attend a funeral service, I will quote, and you will probably hear quoted, the words of Job chapter 1 verse 21. "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It is God's right to give and God's right alone to take away. And when God created mankind, he created us to live and enjoy life. But Genesis 3 says something went wrong. People rebelled against God. They turned their back on God. And as a result, sin entered into the world. And part of the fruit of sin, anger, jealousy, pride, envy, hatred, greed, left uncontrolled, can in its worst scenario lead on to murder. Now there's a difference between murder and killing. Murder and killing. That's why new translations of the Bible translate the commandment murder and not kill or killing. You see, while all murder is killing, not all killing is murder. Did you get that? While all murder is killing, not all killing is murder. So let me give you a description of what murder is not. And you may agree, you may not agree, but that's something for debate later. First of all, murder is not accidental killing. Murder is not accidental killing. The very word accidental or accident clarifies that. It is something that is out of one's control. So accidental killing would not be classified as murder. In fact, even in the Bible, Numbers chapter 35, verse 11 to 28, God provided what we call cities of refuge. And if there was an accident and somebody lost their life, the person who was involved in the accident could go to the city of refuge and would not be tried as a murderer, but would find sanctuary in that place. So that's talking about an unintentional, or someone who killed unintentionally. And in law, malice aforethought must be present for murder, whereas it must be absent for involuntary manslaughter. So accidental killing would be classed as involuntary manslaughter. There was no intent to kill. Secondly, I would suggest murder is not capital punishment. Now, many Christians and many churches have different views on this. And if we did a survey, maybe the church here would be split. Some of you might say capital punishment is a good thing and we need it. Some of you say no, capital punishment is a barbaric thing of the past. We don't want it. Some would argue, well, the Old Testament had it, so it must be good. And others would say, but Jesus came and he fulfilled the Old Testament law. And whereas the moral points of the Old Testament law are valid for today, the civil and the ceremonial law are fulfilled, they're past. And so Christians are divided when it comes to capital punishment. But the point is this. If capital punishment was reinstated, then it would not be seen as murder, but as a government-sanctioned punishment by death. It is a government-sanctioned punishment by death. Whether you agree with it or not, I would suggest it's not murder. Thirdly, murder is not something that happens in a just war. And I underline the word just. Again, many Christians, many churches are divided on this issue. What is a just war? But when life is taken in a just war, that is not murder. And throughout the history of the world, nations have had to defend their borders or assist weaker nations against aggressive enemies. And again, we see many examples of that throughout the Old Testament when God at times ordered his people into the field of battle. Those who kill in just wars are not murderers, but those who engage in brutality and atrocities are murderers. There's a difference, isn't there? And we're seeing that in our own army, in our own situation at the moment. And then fourthly, I would say murder is not self-defence. If somebody is killed, then murder is not self-defence. At times, if you're a police officer, you may have to defend yourself, and the end result might be the person who attacked you, or in that situation, loses their life. And of course, as an individual, sometimes people are attacked. But that would not be classified as murder, even if somebody was killed in that situation. So that's four things murder is not. So now let's flip the coin and say, well, what murder is? So that we can just focus our minds on it. What is murder? Well, let me divide it again into four areas. There is what I'm going to call physical murder. The killing of one human being by another. Do you know what the very first crime was in the Bible? Genesis chapter 4, 8 to 10. This is what it says. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries to me from the ground." The very first crime, one man took the life of another. And I'm amazed that Cain, who wouldn't kill an animal, found the courage in his anger to slay his own brother. Not self-defense, it was pure murder. And since that day, the history of the world has been marked by one individual taking the life of another. So murder is a physical act. Secondly, personal murder. Now I appreciate this will be sensitive, because that's just an alliterated way of talking about suicide. Suicide. And I would imagine in a room of this size, someone here has been affected in their family by someone taking their life. Just last night we had a camp team leaders meeting, a meal. And so we had about 30 people there, and two of our very close friends, the husband of the wife, the father of the daughter, just over a year ago drove into the New Forest and committed suicide. You can imagine the devastation. It's like an earthquake happening in the lives of that lady and that daughter and the son. And we've sought to comfort them and encourage them and help them in any way we can. And I appreciate when a person takes their own life, sometimes it's due to deep depression. Sometimes it's due to mental illness and instability. Sometimes their whole world is just collapsing around them. They can see no light at the end of the tunnel. But I would suggest it's wrong to take your life. And therefore, as Christians, we ought to support those people. If a person takes their life when there is no hope, and there's one thing every person who enters these doors should find, is hope. We are the light of the world, said Jesus. And there should always be light, no matter how dark the tunnel, for those we come into contact with. And we should support those who need our support. We should regularly support agencies who deal in this. It's a personal murder when someone takes their own life. And of course, there is a flip side to that that perhaps affects more of us. When a doctor has said, if you don't stop doing that, sooner or later, it's going to kill you. And yet we stubbornly persist in certain habits and lifestyles that we know are slowly killing us. Here's the third thing. Physician-assisted murder. Here I'm referring to what's called euthanasia, mercy killing, which many people feel is clearly wrong. Some countries around the world have legalised physician-assisted suicide. It's possible to go to a doctor and be put to death in that doctor's office. Now, I haven't got the time or the expertise to debate it in full, but I bring it to your attention, and it's food for thought, isn't it? And it's easy talking about it from a pulpit. It's a lot harder when you're next to a bedside. My mother had a double stroke in August. She'd always had good health. She was 90, but the second one paralysed her. And then throughout September, she was taken into hospital. She never came out of hospital. And myself and the family were called to the hospital bed. And we were told, this week she's going to go. Make sure you're there. But she was a fighter, my mum. And she lasted another 7 or 8 weeks. And as a family, we sat around the bed and we debated. Because we didn't want to see our mother in agony. We didn't want to see our mother like a vegetable wasting away. And we said, look, if she was an animal, we'd have her put down. What do we do? And we had to debate. And in the end, we said, well, we're not going to kill our mum. We'll just let nature take its course. So we said to the doctors, no more pain treatment. Just let her go. Sorry, no more medical treatment. Just kill the pain and let her go naturally. What a tough decision people have to make. And for us, that was a case of weeks. Some people have a case of years. And this is where our theology hits the road, isn't it? And you have to kind of work these issues out. And it's not easy. It's not clear cut. And then last of all, prenatal murder. I'm referring to, of course, abortion. Abortion is the medical process of ending a pregnancy so that it does not result in the birth of a baby. Also known as termination or the termination of pregnancy. And in the UK last year, 200,000, let that number sink in, 200,000 abortions were carried out. Now again, I know it's a sensitive issue. And as a family, we've had to deal with this with people we encounter. My wife has dealt with teenage girls who have got themselves pregnant, age 14 or 15, and the family are saying, abort. You've got your whole life in front of you, don't let this spoil it. It was a silly mistake. Do something about it. And just recently, a lady in her 40s who got two children, separated from the husband, got herself pregnant. Easy solution, she had an abortion. And then she comes round and someone has to pick up the pieces and try and help that woman get her life back together again. These are issues that are in our society. And we experience them in our family. And if we're a church reaching out into our community, sooner or later they're going to cross our doorstep. And we have to make decisions. And whereas I believe abortion is murder, we have to support people who have decisions to make or have gone through that experience to put them together again. And more importantly, to make them right with God. So I appreciate it is a sensitive issue. But life is a gift from God. And Psalm 139, Jeremiah 1:5, Luke 1:41 reminds us life starts in the womb. Life starts in the womb. It is a gift of God. And you and I are called to support those who, well, make sure that laws are passed in a wise way. And we're called to support those agencies who do the work so often we can't do. They have the expertise of giving counselling and help on both sides of the equation. So in conclusion, respect for life. I told you it was not an easy topic, didn't I? Three words. I could have gone the easy route and just gone to Matthew 5 and said, this is what Jesus said, if you've got anger in your heart or if you say offensive words to someone. But I didn't, because I felt this is what God had laid on my heart. When it comes to murder, in theory it's black and white, it's simple, do not kill. In practice, it's like a bottomless pool, isn't it? The more you look into it, the deeper it gets. But may God grant us wisdom. May God grant us grace as we deal with this in our own lives, but especially with our family members and our friends, because these things are affecting us on so many different levels. If you want to know what Jesus said, then in your own time, go to Matthew 5, 21 to 24. As somebody said, nobody is shot with a bullet who is not first shot with a word, and no one is shot with a word who is not first shot with a thought. Killing is not just a brute external act. It is, in its most common form, a subtle internal thing. All of us break this commandment in countless ways. Let's pray.